So of all our gospel writers, Luke really focuses on Jesus and his parables. And of course there are a whole range of parables. Some of them are quite straightforward. Last week we had the parable of the lost sheep, which I think is fairly easy to understand. And actually, just before this reading today, we have the parable of the prodigal son, one of the most well-known parables. And then we come to this parable of the unjust, the shrewd manager, or the unjust steward, as it's known. Quite a bit more tricky, I think. A steward is someone who's been given the authority to oversee something for somebody else. In other words, a type of servant. Even though a steward may have some control over other people and resources, he still comes under the master. And stewards can be responsible for the house or the fields, but he does have to answer to the master. And of course, this is the parallel for us. Jesus is the master, and we are the stewards in our everyday lives. Hopefully, we and our families answer to Jesus and God. And we have some responsibilities for our families, but we answer to God. So in our parable, it's been reported to the master that the steward is skimming from the bottom. He is basically a dishonest man who appears to be lining his own pockets. It's interesting that he's asked for an account, but he's also fired at the same time. Obviously, something had been going on, and the steward immediately plots his revenge. The steward realises that he has no inclination to go and work in the fields. He's had a pretty cushy job, really, and doesn't want to resort to manual labour. Don't blame him. And his dignity won't allow him to beg. He's been the manager of a great estate, so how can he now turn to begging? But obviously he still wants to live in the way he'd been accustomed to when he was the steward. So what to do? So he sets about making some deals. I think he thought, if I make deals with those who owe the master, they will think kindly of me and will give me a job, and then I won't have to work in the fields and I won't have to beg. So, not caring much for the responsibility attached to this job, he calls in all those who owe his master and he makes deals with them, as we heard. And this was done quickly, quietly, so no one would find out. And needless to say, those who owed had to be happy with the deal, but it was still dishonest. Even though it was a minor thing for the master, it was dishonest on the part of the steward and those who he made the deals with. If someone cheats on a small thing, what do you suppose they would do with a bigger thing? And what would they be like in a situation that was really important? So here we have the deals are in place, the steward has been fired, and what happens? Well, what happens is the master commends the steward for acting shrewdly. But gosh, hang on a minute, what's that about? Didn't he cheat the master? And this is where the parable can get confusing. We all expect, well, I expect, that the master would be furious with the steward. You know, he just reduced the wealth and money had been lost. What was the master commending the steward for? He cheated him. Well, the master was commending him for finding a new place to work when he just lost his current job. He had foresight to set up a situation so that he had somewhere to go when he was no longer steward. He was using his initiative and his existing resources to provide for a time when he didn't have those resources. And so we come to the key question that we need to apply in all of the parables that we read. So how does this apply to us? Well, God has made us stewards of our lives and of the earth. We're responsible for ourselves to live a godly life, and we're responsible to use God's creation wisely. And of course, that's very much been in our news this week. I wonder if any of you here have been on a climate change protest at all. No, I can't see any hands in the air, but it's very much on the forefront of the news, isn't it? You know, we do need to be aware of the problems that are facing us on earth with creation, and we're to be wise and resourceful. And with our personal wealth, we're to be wise as well, thinking ahead, using our initiative, but remembering that ultimately it is God's. All that we have comes from God, and we give some back of what we have to God. That is the pattern we're called to. And we need to live our lives pleasing God, and really perhaps taking a daily amount of time to assess how our relationship with God is, and with others, hold short accounts, as it were. The friends that the steward made in the parable were gained very dishonestly, and when the steward was no longer of use to them, he would be discarded. But of course, when we make friends with God, we're never discarded. We're always a member of his eternal family. Are we making friends with people for selfish purposes? Are we laying treasure in heaven with God? The last line of the parable is perhaps very key for us as we continue worshipping together, as we remember what Christ has done for us on the cross, as we go out into the week ahead. I don't know what each of the week has in store for you, but we'd be mindful to think of this last sentence: no servant can serve two masters. And we have to make a choice whether we're going to store up treasure on earth or in heaven. Is your treasure going to be one that moths eat or rust can corrode? Are you going to make friends so that you can accumulate wealth and thereby use people? Or are we going to do things that are pleasing in God's eyes? The master we should always serve is God. We are his stewards, and we are called daily to follow him and serve him, remembering his great love for us and what he's done for us out of that great love. Amen. We're going to sing.